thank you again for joining us at Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're back in the studio. Miss Carrie has decided to join us forever and ever and ever, right,
Amen.
Carrie?
Yes.
And then Tara and myself, Sandy. If you've been following along, we have been discussing the crucifixion for a month and, you know, Jesus' love of us, of dying on the cross just for us and our sins. And so now we are going on and talking about the resurrection. And without the resurrection, we would definitely not have any faith.
It's so true. In fact, I read a quote this morning. I think it was by David Guzik, and he said that the resurrection, actually, he was quoting, I think, Spurgeon, that the resurrection is what builds our faith, and without it, there is no faith, and that the difference between a resurrection and a resuscitation. And I had never heard it explained this way before. Because Jesus isn't the first person to rise from the dead, but he is the first and only person to ever have resurrected.
Right.
And I just loved how they worded that. And then he went in to describe how the widow and Lazarus both were risen in the same body that they died in. And they continued life in that body and then died in that body. That body is now waiting for the resurrection. Mm-hmm. Whereas Jesus, his body became what would be our eternal body and has the ability to do things that a non-resurrected body can do. And so that's the difference. And so when somebody has like died and then been resuscitated, it's not a resurrection, it is a resuscitation. And because they don't actually come back with a different body. They're in the same body that will eventually die. And so I was like, that's very good. That's a good way for us to start off and have that in our minds as we're about to begin. And I love this passage for so many different reasons because it's filled with so many surprises. And we'll stay consistent. We're going to look at kind of what the angels did. We'll look at what the women did. We're going to look at what the soldiers did. We'll look at what the religious leaders did. But we're also going to look at what Jesus did. And there's some good commands in this passage. And the angel gives commands and Jesus gives commands. And what's kind of interesting is that the angel's commands and Jesus' commands kind of mirror each other. Mm-hmm. And so, Carrie, would you mind reading for us the passage? We're going to do Matthew 28.
Okay. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, "Tell people, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age."
May God honor the reading of his word. It's such a beautiful passage. Okay, so we have early in the morning, and I love the fact that there's faithfulness to routine. Mm-hmm. And I want us to keep in mind that faithfulness to routine. I can't tell you how often in my life that's repeated over and over when I really do not know what I'm supposed to do next, when the circumstances are so overwhelming, or I find myself clueless. What I have learned as I've read scripture over and over, I have watched over and over, those that honor God, those that honor Him, they're the ones that they just remain faithful to what they know, and they remain faithful to the routine, and then they will meet Christ in that process. Mm-hmm. And that is what happened with these ladies that day. They were in their routine. Normally, this is what they would do. They would go and visit the tomb, and they would be in the process of wanting to bless him in within the appropriate amount of time, not to have done it during the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. And in that process, then they were the ones that were blessed. Now, I have a quote that I wanted to read because this is really cool. Spurgeon said this, and he said, "One eyewitness is better than 20 ear witnesses." Mm. I don't know. I've ever heard anybody call it ear witness before.
Or 20.
Spurgeon. Yeah. Spurgeon.
And he said, "Men believe what is seen more than what is heard."
Mm. Right.
Now, keep that in mind as we think on these women and how they're going to become the eyewitnesses that he's going to use. And then the other thing I want us to think about is that the cross, Guzik says this, the cross, it should be viewed as the payment that God gave for our sin, and that the resurrection is the receipt. Mm. And so just as you would take a receipt with you when you have purchased something as proof that you have ownership, that the receipt we get from heaven is the actual resurrection. So as Jesus is going and he is having these relationships and conversations, what he's doing is giving them the receipt of what he has prepared them in advance and told them he was going to do and how he would purchase. And so I thought that's a really easy visual to remember. And so I wanted to remember that one. Okay. So let's look at this. Let's just look at the ladies if we might. I'm gonna go out of order then, but I just had in my notes. I just decided to change it a little bit. I want us to first to start with the women. So tell me everything that you can observe about the women from this passage. What do you discover, and what do you see, and what blesses you? Or maybe what makes you struggle? We're on the radio.
We are on the radio.
Okay. Well, they went out to the tomb.
Okay.
That's
so
a given.
So they went. They were willing to go. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's kind of important.
And I think in some of the other Bibles that I've read, they even say it a little differently than mine did. What did yours say, Carrie?
When it was?
Or what? About when they went or how they went?
The first day of the week, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, after the Sabbath.
So they kind of went immediately then when they could see.
Yeah, as soon as they could get out there. Yeah. And so as I was thinking through this will get your minds jogging. Okay. They were, one, yes, Sandy, willing to go. Mm-hmm. But two, think about the faithfulness that showed. Mm-hmm. You just said it. At the early dawn?
Mm-hmm.
Right away. Who likes to get up at early dawn? Now, I do too. Culturally, you have to understand, in their culture, oftentimes in order to do something where you don't have to mix in with the crowd, it has to be done early. It has to be done very early because the city is so full of people. And so they went to get there just at dawn so that they could take care of this, so that they weren't going to be surrounded by people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There was a sense of, this is private.
I think it's that faithfulness because they were at the crucifixion, you know, and they just wanted to honor him by the ceremony, the ritual they always do.
Exactly. It was private, it was intimate, and it was at dawn. And so they really were thinking through how to be a blessing, you know, even though he's not there, and that's their routine. The other thing that I saw that they did was, aside from their faithfulness, which is kind of fun because the resurrection is really how we get our faith, the fear they had. They were afraid, and they were afraid of the angels, right? Mm-hmm. But even though they were afraid, when the angel told them what to do, and we'll go over the angel's commands in a minute, how did they react? What did they do?
They did what they asked. Yeah. They told him to go inside and see his body, and they did.
Okay.
And they told him to go.
Yeah. Yeah. They went inside and they looked to see. And then my translation says they hurried.
Yeah, it says they departed quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine says quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. And the command, we'll get to the command with the angels, but the angels commands quickly. Mm-hmm. And it says they did. Mm-hmm. And then lo and behold, what should happen, but what they go out into the garden and who do they see?
Jesus.
Now, other books will tell us that, you know, she thinks it's a gardener, and he tells her it's not. But what do they do when they see Jesus?
They fall down and worship him. Mm-hmm.
They bow before him, they clasp his feet, and they worship. Mm-hmm. It's instant. I want you to realize that's because that's what their hearts were already doing. Mm-hmm. Their hearts were already in a kneeling posture of worship. And that's what they had gone to do. Mm-hmm. And then they got to see him. Mm-hmm. And that to me speaks volumes that if I have my heart prepared, I am going to be confronted by the Lord. And we've talked about this before, but I think of all the times that we can be in a church service or something that is Christ-centered, and people walk away and they're like, oh my goodness, I so felt the presence of God. And there are times I'm just kind of like, really? Like, I didn't get it.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, well, what happened that I didn't get? And it dawns on me that it's my heart.
Mm-hmm. It's where our focus is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for
my
sure.
My heart wasn't in prep. Mm-hmm. It wasn't prepared for what was happening. And so I wasn't receiving the blessing mm-hmm. of what was occurring.
And I think a lot of times people think it's the sermon itself, and it's not. Mm-hmm. You know, it is us. Mm-hmm. You know, because every sermon has something for us.
Mm-hmm. Always. Anytime the word is spoken, we do. And then once they bowed down and worshiped him, they ran to go get the other disciples. They went to share. They mm-hmm. didn't keep this for themselves. This was something that was, we have received a truth. And when we receive a truth, what should we do?
Share it.
We should share it. We should share it. We should always give what we know. And we're only accountable for what we know. But what we do know, we need to make sure we go and we give. And so as I was looking at these women, I just thought, oh my goodness, I want that kind of faithfulness. I want that desire to go and be intimate in such a way that I not just think I'm going to go there to bless, but I literally know I'm going to encounter Jesus, that I have the holy expectation. Mm-hmm. I have within me a holy expectation. Now, did they think that they were going to see Jesus? No, that's not what I'm saying. But they did have a holy expectation to go bless him, and then they ended up being blessed by mm-hmm. seeing him. I want to take that to use that for our time. I need to have a holy expectation that I'm going to see him at work in my life and at work around me. Okay, now let's take the flip side. How were the soldiers behaving?
They were fearful mm-hmm. and trembling, like, and they became like dead men.
I wrote on mine because at some point in my life, I think I read that they had fainted, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I put a question mark. I'm like, was it that they were fainted or were they just like, what was it?
Yeah, paralyzed mine says, with fear.
Yeah, mine says fell into a dead faint.
Yeah. Oh.
That would be a shock.
Was yeah. there a holy expectation here?
No.
No.
No, not at all.
Complete shock.
And all right, the women, the Pharisees, the soldiers, all of them knew mm-hmm. because Jesus had told them, mm-hmm. okay, that he was coming. And so it was common knowledge. And so these guys had no expectation that they were going to encounter the Lord. And I'm going to save another piece of theirs with the soldiers in a second. Okay, let's talk about the angels. What do you see with the angels?
Yeah, I found it interesting when Carrie was reading that I probably forgot or hadn't picked it up, was when they described the angel. you know, his face shone like lightning and his clothing was white as snow. So mm-hmm. that's kind of familiar with Jesus when he comes back.
And the transfiguration.
Yes. I
wrote that down in my notes this morning.
But I hadn't ever just really, until you just sit and listen again, it's amazing what comes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. It's always wise to ask the questions of, are there repetitions that I mm-hmm. see from this passage? Mm-hmm. And that is one of those repetitions that happens. And from other times in Scripture. And so it does take us back to the moment of the transfiguration where Jesus' face mm-hmm. shined like lightning and he appeared as white as snow. The glory was being revealed. And at this point, what happens is that he's revealing the glory of God. Mm-hmm. He's risen. And this is so cool. We say this so easily. He is risen. What do you say back? He is risen indeed.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We say that pretty commonly, easily at Easter time. I had never caught this before, but do you realize this is the very first time that was spoken? Hmm. He is risen. He is not here.
Yeah.
Depending on which translation you read. Very first time this word was spoken, and it wasn't spoken by a man. It was spoken by an angel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, mm-hmm. It's so beautiful. So with the angels, how did the angel communicate? What did the angels say?
Do not be afraid.
Immediately.
They say that immediately because they know they are afraid.
Yeah. I just can't even imagine the terror. Mm-hmm. And next, what does he say next?
I know you're looking for Jesus, but he is not here.
He's not here. And then what does he want them to do when they realize he's not there?
Go in and look.
Mm-hmm. Come see. Mm-hmm. Come see. And so I want you to think on this. The angel's purpose is to be a messenger of God. Mm-hmm. And as a messenger of God, an angel is to always be where he is, like pointing to what God is wanting us to understand. And by having them go in and see the place where Jesus had laid, they will see that he's not there anymore. And so the fulfillment of that receipt being mm-hmm. paid in full, and by giving them the visual, the eyewitness of visual, they will be able to say, he didn't just tell us and we ran to tell you. We saw with our own eyes and we were able to see where he was laid. He is not there.
I'm going to circle the word see.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so the power of the eyewitness account. So we're so glad that you have been listening to us at Cultivating Hearts. We want you to come back because we have so much more we need to go through. And we're glad you're listening. We're going to finish up with the angels, and we'll continue with the resurrection. If you want to contact us, you can contact us at tararai.com or at cultivatinghearts.org or opendoormission.org. God bless.